School of the Master. This is School of the Master, Lecture 2, Practice. Practice, practice, practice. We think to ourselves, why do we put practice so up top, up front in the School of the Master? Why is it that practice is such an important aspect of the School of the Master and of our being our masterful self? How do we accomplish it? Well, all of us have the idea that we would like this, we would like that. We look at things and we say, oh, how wonderful, oh, how great. And we look at all the world and we say, terrific, fantastic, glorious. And yet, we do not think at all about our dogs and cats. And we look at them and we say, sit, 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 sit. Again and again and again, we tell them to sit. And we don't say it with meanness in our hearts or with gruffness in our voice. We just say it as a pattern. Now sit, now sit. And then sometimes we even give rewards, like giving a cookie. And we say, now sit. And as we say, sit, and as we give a reward, we say to them, now sit and enjoy yourself. Sit and just love what you're doing. Be happy. And as you're happy doing what you're doing, you get the reward. Now, they get the reward of a cookie for sitting when we ask them to sit. We get the reward for having them sit when we speak our word and say, sit. Now, can that work on all areas of life? Or is that only with dogs and cats and training animals and training children and sometimes training ourselves? How do we train ourselves to do anything? We do it with practice. Now, let's just say, I want to be rich. I want to be healthy. I want to be famous. I want to be wealthy. I want to have my past be forgotten, have my future be forgotten, have all life just be forgotten and live in the present moment beautifully, wonderfully, completely, without any reservations. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, it's impossible to not live aware of the past. It's impossible not to do these different things. That's all impossible. Well, we say that to ourselves, and we mean that to ourselves, and we convince ourselves that that's true. We convince ourselves that that's true. You take a little boy and you say, now sit down here at the piano. And the little boy slams on the keys of the piano and, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're so sensitive. You're so caring. And the little boy says, well, if that's sensitive and caring, then have some more, you know. And he pounds on the keys. And you do that every time the child sits down at the piano. It takes patience on your part to see beyond the fact that right now he's not expressing the genius of being a pianist that he could and will be if he is persistent with practice. And so every day you lovingly bring him to the piano and say, isn't this a lovely piano? I love this piano. It's so wonderful. It has such beautiful music in it. It's just so great. Beautiful music in it. Patch, 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 patch. Well, now watch. I'll play something. And so you play something. Maybe you don't know how to play, but you can always play da 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 da. You can play beautiful, crisp, lovely notes. And pretty soon, the kid learns to recognize that beautiful, lovely notes come out of the piano. And so he goes da 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 da. Children want to copy their parents. Children want to do like their mommy does or like their daddy does, and they want to do like their older sisters and brothers do. And they like being the older brother to have the younger ones copy from them because they feel so proud that the younger ones are copying from. Well, what they're doing is they're putting the art of practice into a very high level of expression. And the art of practice is practicing it all the time. Now, you want to, let's say, be wealthy. Now, right at the moment, you are living in a normal household, normal income and whatever, but nothing spectacular. So, you say, I want to be wealthy. Well, now, the first thing is, you turn that around. I play the piano. I don't want to play the piano. I play the piano. I play the piano. I play the piano. I play the piano. And pretty soon you are practicing and practicing and practicing, and pretty soon you're beginning to play the piano. Now, you say, that's a long, drawn-out program. Yes, it is. It's a very stupid, jerky, long, drawn-out program for all normal human beings. But when you're a divine being, it's a different story. We have many autistic children who express genius in various levels within them, which are uninhibited. These geniuses come out because they are naturally there. But they practice it again and again and again. Now, to them, it's not practicing. To them, it's demonstrating what they feel when they hear within. And they're living it, and they're loving it, and they're delighting in it. Yes, it is. They have opened that inner doorway, that inner wisdom, to that ability to play the piano or to do mathematics or to do other things that autistic children have been able to do, and adults. Now, that tells you, at least it should tell us, that within us is that ability to play the piano, is that ability to do all these things. The little boy sits down at the piano with his mom, and she is fingering on the piano, doing a modicum of job. And the little guy, when mama gets off the piano, he gets there, and he goes lettered for it. He doesn't know where those notes are. He doesn't know where those keys are. He doesn't know what that all means. All he knows is in his voice, in his heart, he feels the notes and stuff that his mother played, and he plays them. But then he begins to play more, because what his mother gave him was just surface. What he has deep within him is the ability to play concerts, to play concertos, to play oratorios, to play anything. And he doesn't know that, and he doesn't care. He just does it. He doesn't want to do it. He just does it. Well, now, practice teaches us to just do it, regardless that we may want it or may not want it. Okay, you want to be a wealthy person. And you say to yourself, I want to be a wealthy person. 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 You say it again and again and again, and all you're doing is saying you're not. Mm-hmm. Now, when you can start saying, I play the piano, and then start touching it, you're playing it. When you say, I am a wealthy person, and then you start living as a wealthy person. A wealthy person doesn't just spend money. That's what we think. A wealthy person has all the money they want to spend. They can buy anything they want to buy. But do they buy everything they want to buy? When you can do it, you don't do it because you don't really want it. You don't really want to buy all this fancy hi-fi equipment. You want your equipment to sound hi-fi. You don't need to buy the stuff to make your equipment sound hi-fi. You tune your equipment to its hi-fi quality. You tune yourself to your wealthy attitude, to your wealthy quality. Now, what does a wealthy person do? Well, they have money. Not necessarily. There are many wealthy children, whose parents have all the money. Now, do those children have all the money that their parents have to spend? Oh, no way. Their parents don't let them do that. They should. They should teach them how to spend it and how to enjoy it and how to not be possessed by it. But they themselves haven't learned that, how not to be possessed by it. So these wealthy parents, they've got all this money. And they got wealthy children. They go to wealthy schools. They go to wealthy clothes. And they go to wealthy games and stuff like that. And they have all the wealthy toys. And what does it mean to the child? Nothing. This is natural. This is natural. It's natural for them to have whatever they have. Now, you go to a modest family, middle-income family, and they have middle-income toys, middle-income clothing, middle-income things. They don't have the best, the finest, but what they have is what they have. And they learn to appreciate what they have. And yes, we're a very comfortable family. I have everything I want. And you go to a poor family. And the poor family, the child only has one pair of shoes, maybe. Maybe none, but one pair of shoes. And the child only has one going to meeting clothes, you know, one Sunday suit. And he's supposed to keep that nice. And he has his school clothes, and he has his play clothes. Now, a rich child, does he have school clothes and play clothes? Quite likely, yes. Quite likely, yes. But the thing is, do you never think of that? You don't think the child is getting out of his school clothes and getting into his play clothes because he doesn't want to hurt his school clothes. He doesn't want to wear them out. What do they wear? They wear whatever it is that they have, and they like it. I remember in our family when we'd leave our summer cottage, which was quite exclusive by a lot of people's points of view, but my dad knew how to build and knew how to do things, and he did it. So he provided us with those things. Well, before we left our summer cottage at the end of summer, Mother got out the Sears catalog, and each one of us were allowed to go through the Sears catalog and choose one suit of school clothes that we're going to wear when we go back to school. It was not a play clothes. It was not a clothes you wear around ordinarily, but it was school clothes. And so we would choose them. And we didn't feel poor. We didn't feel rich. We just felt this is natural. And this is how all these things are. You feel natural about them. Now, do you have the ability within you to feel natural? Do you have the ability within you to feel natural about anything in life? Can you feel natural about being independently wealthy? And the answer is no. You don't feel natural about being independently wealthy because you don't know how to describe independently wealthy. Now, how do you practice being independently wealthy? You practice being independently wealthy by realizing whatever things you want, you have. You'd like a new television set. Okay, now, what kind of television set do you want? We have a neighbor here who is very helpful to us and doing many things, and he's a nice guy. And so we were in the process of getting a new screen, a new television for our TV room. And so we said to him, Art, would you like to have this old television? Old television, it was only a couple of years old, and it's brand new, it's wonderful, never used for television, just used for video playing. And Art says, sure. Art didn't really want it, but he took it. He already had six televisions in his home, you know. He didn't really want it, but you see, he was television rich. And so the first thing he did, he offered it to his best friend. And his best friend took it and put it in his house and enjoyed it. And then, through carelessness, he burned down the house. And there went the television. And we had given it to Art because we wanted Art to have it, but Art gave it to his friend because he wanted his friend to have it. Now, who's rich and who's poor? Are we poor because we are sorry that the television is gone? Or are we rich because we are able to share? Now, practicing is sharing. Practicing is sharing what you have, and that is if you're now into the idea that you're independently wealthy, sharing what you have and practicing sharing, giving, living, doing all these things in a wonderful way. Now, how can you do that? How can you put things like that into motion? Let's stay with the idea of independent wealth. That's always a good one. We'll stay with that idea. Now, do you know what independent wealth means? Do you know what independent wealth means? Let's just look at some normal person who's independently wealthy. They have a couple of $1 billion. You know, you say, that's really major wealthy. All right, a couple of $1 million. Well, that's minor wealthy, really. So many houses are going for $500,000 or $1 million nowadays that it's that doesn't have the same thing. All right, what is wealthy? Well, wealthy is when I live in a lovely home, not a big home or a small home, but a lovely home. And when I have all the little goodies in the home that make the home a home, what makes the home a home? The television? The radio? the special sink raider, the hot water thing in the sink that gives you instant hot water. What makes a home a home? Well, what makes a home a home? What makes independently wealthy? What makes a home a home? Well, what makes a home a home, I'm thinking now differently, are the people that are in it. Do you like to go home in the evening after school or after work? Do you like to go to your home? Do you want to be with your family? Or would you rather go visit your friends because their homes are much more fun? What do you want to do? Do you want to go to your home? Can you just not wait to go and see your mommy and your daddy and your brothers and sisters and be part of your family? Is that what you really want to do? Now, that's being independently homey, independently family, independently happy with who you are. Now, have you ever visited the families of your friends who were not as rich as your family was, or was not as poor as your family was? What was the primary thing that was in their home that made you want to visit them? The love that they had for each other. The love that they had for their home. They loved their home. They were always doing nice things for their home. They were always putting their clothes away. They were always keeping the furniture dusted. When the girls came home from school, the first thing they did was take dust rag and go around the house and dust everything. Take them 5-10 minutes before they go to play. And then maybe they're going to go do their homework right away before they go and play. And they get all that done for an hour of homework, and they got everything in order. And then they go and play. And they, where do they like to play? They want to play in their own backyard because they love their home, because they love who they are. And this was what makes all the difference in our life. Do you love who you are? Do you love where you are? Do you love what you have? Do you love yourself? That's practice. Now, when you are practicing being independently wealthy, is it a matter that you can give away? No. Is it a matter that you can receive? No. Being independently wealthy is practicing, delighting, enjoying everything you have. Being independently wealthy is to practice enjoying and delighting in everything that you have. To appreciate what you have. Because you can never be independently wealthy if you don't know how to appreciate it. Because many people live in very healthy bodies, but they don't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. What do? They go drink alcohol. They go overstress their body. They go and over-challenge their body. Oh, this is all good for my body. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Stop and think. I know many will disagree with me, but stop and think. When you are living a normal life, your body is in good condition. You're not exercising. You're not weightlifting. Weightlifting is not normal. You're not doing all these things that are not normal. You're not running track every day. You're not jogging every day. Oh, I'm jogging every day and I feel so great. No, you don't. You feel great when you stop. You feel great when you are living in your normal, ideal body. Now, you go ahead and fight me about ideal. You're living in your ideal body. What is your ideal body? Who knows? But your body knows. And your body is happy and comfortable and operating 100% when you are living in your ideal body. Now, have you ever got up in the morning and happy about it? Have you ever gone to bed at night, rested, not tired and beat, but just, and have lovely dreams? Have you ever said to someone else in your world, my, you look beautiful, a reflection of yourself? Have you ever looked at people who had problems in the hospital, for instance, and you said to them, you are a magnificent person. You always think about other people. You're always happy. You're always joyful. You're changing their mind from that of illness to something of wholeness. True? and you had to look for it, you had to search for it, but not if you were there yourself. But what is a healthy body? What is a wealthy family? What is an independently wealthy family? A family that has sufficient to take care of themselves and do themselves. Not money. Not money. It's when the kids love to come home and mow the lawn. They like to come home and take care of the house. They like to come home and be part of the family. They want to sit around in the evening playing games with the family, not watching television, but playing games with the family. Hoping when you watch television, you're aware of what's going on in the world. Well, all right, what are you going to do about it? If you were to stop and say every evening at dinner time, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. I surround all the world with my pure white light of love, and all the world is in divine order now. All the world is in divine order now. Practice that. And when you practice that, what are you doing? What you're doing is you're saying, my world is in divine order right now. And you're becoming aware of it, and you're becoming alert to it, and you are enjoying it by recognizing, becoming aware of it. Now, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My family is the ideal. Do you love your family? Do you love them above all others? They're your family. Are some members of your family kind of naughty? And are some members kind of good? Do you love the naughty ones any less than you love the good ones? Really, you love them all. And do you forgive the naughty ones? Or do you forgive their nonsense or their foolishness? Sure. That's Brother Joe. But you don't want to do that. You want to say, Brother Joe is always being his ideal self. Again, you don't understand what it means. But Brother Joe is always doing his ideal self. Now, what's Brother Joe going to do in your world? He's going to be his ideal self. And you're going to be the greatest blessing to Brother Joe that he ever knew about. But starting with yourself, you're the greatest blessing. Because you are so beautiful. You are a master consciousness. You are creating in your world every beautiful, wonderful person, every beautiful, wonderful experience, and the experience is starting with you. Yeah. Whenever you have a hang-up in your mind or your body, it's because you haven't been practicing. You haven't been putting, practicing your putting so you can do well on the green. But it takes time. Now, why are you a great putter with practice? Why can you take the ball and a golf club and tap it and have it go right into the hole and have it do it every time, every time, every time, every time? Why? Because you practice seeing it done. You don't practice hitting the ball with a putter and you see it missing the cup. You practice seeing it going right into it. And if there's a little piece of dirt on the carpet when you're putting along on it or something, the ball just goes around it or goes over it or it just goes to that cup because that cup is where it's supposed to go. And sometimes you hit the ball and you wonder why it's going up a little bit. Well, because the ball sees what it's going on and you don't. The ball sees the rise of the carpet, just a fraction of an inch, enough to make it turn and go directly into the cup. The ball goes into the cup because that's where you have designed it to go. That, and there's nothing that can keep it from getting in that cup. Nothing. Now, they show humorous things where golfers hit a tree with their ball, and then it bounces off the tree into the cup. Into the cup! How utterly crazy, you know. Why not? Why not? You can have any experience you want in your life, and it can be a rewarding experience if you are a rewarding person. Everything good always happens to you. Everything good always happens to you. Everything good always happens to you. Isn't that a terrible thing for people to say about you? Now, why do people say everything good always happens to you? They say that because you are in the consciousness of everything good happening to you all of the time. You are practicing everything good happening to you all the time. Now, here we are back at our independently wealthy attitude again. Now, what is an independently wealthy attitude? You say, boy, it would be fun to take a cruise. It'd be fun to go around the world on some big cruise ship and just enjoy myself. Actually, it wouldn't be fun. It's a lot of work, and it's a pain in the neck. Same thing all the time. Ocean, 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 you know. And you get real tired of it after a while. If you take a short cruise, that's different. But a long cruise gets boring. Okay, just like being in the Navy. You know, you're on your ship. If you didn't have your work to do, you'd be bored to tears. So here you are, independently wealthy, and you're practicing being independently wealthy. What did we say you do when you practice being independently wealthy? You appreciate what you have. You appreciate the things that you have. What do you give to a person who has everything? You give them love. You give them the awareness that you think that they're pretty wonderful. Not just, oh, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. And you go to them and say, you know, I've seen many things in my life, but I've never seen a person who is so lovingly generous as you are in working with your spare time with these children to help them become entrepreneurs as you are. You are a fabulous person. You really are wonderful. And the person says, I had an entrepreneur when I was coming up, and I realized how wonderful that is. And so if I can be a blessing to some of these young people coming up and help them on their road to fame and fortune, I don't want any credit for it. That's not the point. I'm just giving of my own talent. Now, maybe they'll do just the opposite of what I tell them, but at least I will have given them my best. And what happens when they do just the opposite? Well, then, instead of discovering the mousetrap, a better mousetrap, they discover a way of mentally thinking thoughts that are so powerful that you surround your house with your pure white light of love, and never a cricket, a squirrel, a mosquito, a fly, a mouse, a rat, anything comes in your house, nothing. Now, can you be so stupid, so utterly, utterly stupid, and say, I surround my house with my pure white light of love, and it is dust-free. It is dust-free. My furniture is dust-free. The house is dust-free. The paint job that I put on this house when I built it is still there, and it just looks like it's brand new all the time. You go in my car, anytime you go in my car, it's a 10-year-old car, and it smells brand new, factory new, and it looks brand new, factory new. It's fantastic, you know. It's all attitude. You go in the kitchen, and how are the dishes? You put the dishes on the kitchen counter, not even in the dishwasher, and they're clean. They're wonderful. And they're all stacked, ready to be put in the cupboard. Well, you can find them, somebody puts them in the cupboard for you too. But you see, it is so idiotic, so irrational to think of a house being dust-free. I mean, it's just illogical. It's not some, but that's what God is, illogical. Now, when we can be our divine self and be illogical, we can have a dust-free home. Now, you say, that's not the main most important thing in the world. No, it's an illustration, though. Okay, you got a dust-free home. Cool. Independently wealthy? Wow. All right, think of this. You have a car. A car that does not need gas. Does not need oil. Does not need anything to run it. It's just for you to enjoy. Maybe it floats. Maybe it doesn't even need tires to go on the road. It just floats along. Why not? Why not have these things like that? They do exist. They do exist, but they are not promoted because the commerce and the economy of our nation is built upon all these other aspects of gadgets, gadgets, gadgets. And gadgets have within them a built-in obsolescence. And they love that built-in obsolescence because then people will buy new ones. Okay, now, do we have that problem? Do we have built-in obsolescence? Or do our things last forever? Do we look at ancient pieces of china? Do we look at crystal? And do we say how glorious? That crystal is 1,000 years old, 100 years old, whatever we say it is. Do we look at it and say it's beautiful? Or do we look at it and say, oh, it's not pretty at all, it's old? Well, is crystal 200, 300 years old, old? It's never old. It's always beautiful. Now, they have new cleaning agents out now that you can just wipe across dirty windows and glass and various things, and they'll be clean as a whistle. But you look at your glass and see it clean. You look at your house and see it clean. This is being independently wealthy. You're not dependent upon anything else. It's only your thought, whatever your thought may be, that is what you are experiencing. But that takes practice. It takes practice to remain on the track, to remain consistent with the direction you're going, with the purpose you're going, with the attitude you have. Okay, money is always fun, but health is fun too. Now, what about your health? What about your health? Do you live in your ideal mind, spirit, and body? Do you live in your ideal body? Do you have any idea what an ideal body should be? Do you have any idea what it should be? The ideal body is one that functions for you all the time, doing everything you want it to do all the time, never being tired, never being hungry, never being thirsty, never needing anything. You participate in things because you play the human game, but you don't need it. Our body was designed to create all the minerals and vitamins and other things that are valuable to the body's operation. And not that it needs anything from the outside. Nothing from the outside. Within our bodies, we have the atoms, and these atoms are so much energy. What operates our body? Energy. What operates our life? Energy. What operates the world? Energy. What is independent wealth? Energy. What is everything? Energy. It would seem like we would want to get to know energy. So, how do we free the energy in our body to be everything we want it to be? We free it by habit. We free it by what?
Practice.
By practice. And only practice is going to do it. Now, you say, I like me, I like me, I like me. That's a nice practice. That's a nice affirmation. And when you say, I like me, I like me, I like me, you are getting used to the idea that you're appreciating your body. You're appreciating your life. You're appreciating your world. You're appreciating all that's in your world. And that's because if you wouldn't like yourself if you lived in a world that was a naughty world, a bad world, but you're living in a good world. Everyone is. We don't all know it, but we're living in a good world. So now, how do you begin to say, I have a wonderful world and I like me? How do you begin to say that you are the essence of all that's good and beautiful? How do you begin to say that? Well, you begin to say that by being that in your attitude about yourself, in your consciousness. So now we want to develop the habit of practicing knowing who we are. I am my ideal self now. I am my ideal self now. I am divine. I am my ideal self now. And if every moment of the day we'd be going around saying, I am the ideal chauffeur, I am the ideal chauffeur, we'd be the ideal driver, wouldn't we? Not because we're the ideal driver, not because we've got all that skill, we've got all that genius, but that is the only thing our mind knows, is to be the ideal chauffeur, to be the ideal driver. Now, you drive and follow rules of the road and all things like this that you have the vaguest idea about. But the ideal chauffeur knows it. And that's what you're calling yourself. I am the ideal human being. No, that's good. Ideal human being is kind of nice. Very compatible with everything else. And then one day you get an idea, you say, I am the ideal divine being. I am the ideal divine being. The divine being is ideal, of course. But I am the ideal divine being. What do you do then? When you are the ideal divine being, you begin acting like the ideal divine being. How would I live and divine show myself if I were God? If I were the divine, how would I live my life? If I were the divine, how would I act? How would I talk? How would I think? How would I respond to the world? What would I do? And that takes a little bit of thinking, takes a little bit of imagination. How would I do that? And you say to yourself, well, if I were king, this is how I'd rule the country. If I were God, this is how I'd rule my life. If I were the master of my world, this is how I'd rule myself. If I were the master, if I were the divine, if I were God, all I would do is to go around smiling and seeing the world through the eyes of my divine self. And does anything need to be changed? Does anything need to be improved? Is there any bank that I need to walk into to get money? Is there any store I need to go into that I need to pay for something if I want to have it? Or do I need to have even a store? Can I say, I now have my new iPhone. I now have whatever. And it's a lifetime guarantee on it and lifetime payment on it. And it just automatically, what do you say, recycles itself. And so that you always have the latest model with all the latest gadgetry on it. Now, is that impossible? No. People are doing that all the time. How many people are doing that? Billions of people on Earth are buying Apple iPhones. They don't need them. They don't want them. They don't need to pay all that extra money that they have to pay for it. They don't need to pay the service charges that they have to pay. You can buy cheaper phones that'll do the same thing that you normally do. But you want it filled with all the gadgetry. And why do you want that? Because that's your living abundantly. That's you living independently wealthy. That's you putting the thoughts into motion for the goals that you have for yourself. That's you practicing the presence. Practicing the presence of I am that I am. I am happy, wealthy, rich, famous right now. I am good right now. But we'll dwell on this for just a second. If you think for just a second that you are not, then you might as well start over again. Now, I share with everyone the 3-hour meditation. It's a very demanding meditation from 3 o'clock in the morning until 6 in the morning. And you go through 3 stages of it. And you say, I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. And then you say, why can I say I'm God? And you just think of all the fabulous possibilities, reasons. And then on the 3rd hour, you have a conversation with God. You have a conversation with the divine inside yourself. And if at any stage you fall asleep, you start over at the beginning. As I tell people, you will do this for 6 months, if you wish, and you will have a mental awakening, a spiritual awakening. You will have an awareness of your divine self as you've never had before. And I can easily say that. Most people fall asleep at some point, and they have to do it over, have to do it over. And the diligent ones do it over. They start from scratch, doing it over. They want that result. Now, what is that? What is a three-hour meditation? What other word could we give it? We give it the word practice. It's practicing the presence. It's the three-hour meditation, practicing the three-hour introspective awareness of your divine self. Practicing it, practicing it. Now, if I give seminars all over the world, and in most of the seminars, they want the three-hour meditation. I got to get up at 2:30 every morning and give the three-hour meditation. And I have to give a talking meditation because they are not aware of what they should be experiencing in the meditation. So in the first place, we say, I am God together. And we sing it, we chant it, we love it. Then I say why I can say I'm God. And they listen. And they say, yeah, I can say that. Yeah, I can say that. And I do that for a full week for the seminar, or 2 weeks, or however long the seminar is. And then the third hour, I tell them how God is talking to me. And I'm quite happy with it, because God is talking to me as the most magnificent, wonderful, revealing, unfolding awareness. It's just so great. I'm practicing for myself. And everyone listening is saying, hey, that's interesting. I had never thought of talking to God like that. Well, God is our self. God is who you are, who I am. So when you are saying, I am God, and when you're talking to God in the third hour, you're talking to yourself. Now, can you talk to yourself as a very significant being? Is the God in you ideal, perfect, fantastic, glorious, the most wonderful expression of any idea that you could ever have about God? The answer is yes. Now, if that is true, how do you get yourself to be tuned in to that God self? Practice, practice, practice. We practice this three-hour meditation. Anytime you want to learn the three-hour meditation, we have pamphlets here that tell all about it if you'd like to do it. But it's just a matter of the first hour you say, I'm God, God I am. The second hour, you take a pause if you need to, but you sit quietly by yourself. Second hour you say, why I can say I'm God. I can say I'm God because that's all there is, da-da-da-da, and on. And then the third hour, sit and have a conversation with God inside of yourself. Well, God, how are you today? God says, what are you asking about my health for? You know, and you say, well, you know, that's not what I meant, God. I know. Well, don't go asking something you didn't mean. Now, how are you doing, Herb? Oh, you're going to ask me the question I'm asking you. Sure, why not? We'll play it back and forth. Well, God, to tell you the truth, I feel wonderful. Well, why would you tell me anything other than the truth? Why do you say to tell the truth? You know, those are human escapes that you want to use, and you don't want to use those with me. With me, you want to only say, I like me. I am God. I created all the world, and all the world is good and very good. I created every circumstance on the world, and it's good and very good. And I created the mosquitoes in the world, and I created them enjoying themselves, and I am untouchable by any of my creation. My creation are just to live their own life in their own world. Mosquito with mosquito, and fly with fly, and people with people. And that's the way it is. Not that they're good, not that they're bad, but this is my world. I sit here as an observer, observing my world and participating in it to a degree, but enjoying it only as I created. And you know what the God in me says? He says, Herb, that's cool. You got the message. You've been practicing, haven't you? And I said, yes, God, I have. He said, well, okay, keep it up. And then a woman comes up to me and says, well, what does God say to me? And I say, she says to you exactly what you think about yourself. Oh, is there a he, she, God? No, there's no homosexual God. There's no he, she. There's no he, God, she, God. But for each of us, God is a reflection of who we are. And that's all that matters. And that's all that is. Enjoy that today, because that's who you are. Now, go forth and practice, and watch the miracles take place in your life in an ever more beautiful way. I love you.